Good evening.
Good evening.
Amen.
Thank you so much for being a part of this service tonight. Grateful for the good congregation and the good songs that we have heard. Reminding us of a couple of things. Our heritage.
Yes, sir.
And our hope.
Amen.
Our heritage. And our hope. And I unapologetically subscribe on both points.
Amen.
Glad to be an American.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for the heritage that I have in that regard.
Amen.
But I'm also glad that I have a hope.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That goes beyond here.
Yes.
And now.
That's it. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank God.
Reading tonight from the book of Jonah, if you have your Bible, the 3rd chapter of the book of Jonah. I'm going to read from chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. I'll read through verse 10. This is my focus text tonight. I am going to read other scriptures that I will classify as foundational texts. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. Our subject tonight is the secret to the revival at Nineveh. Heretofore, we've talked about the significance of Nineveh, the sins of Nineveh. Last night was the schedule for Nineveh. So tonight is the secret. Is it really as hard as we think to have revival? It is an open secret.
There you go.
Jonah chapter number 3, verse number 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now I want to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. I want to read a verse or two there. The Gospel according to John, chapter number 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm reading again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read two verses there, verse 1 and verse 6. Now faith is the substance It's not imaginary. It's substance.
Amen.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Study those two words. What is faith? It's two things. It's substance and it's evidence.
Yes, sir.
Now look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
I'm going to focus tonight, as I have said, on what I will call the secret to the revival in Nineveh. I think anyone that studies the history of revival in the Bible or in secular history will arrive at the conclusion that the revival that occurred in Nineveh when Jonah went there to preach has to be among the greatest revivals that we know anything about.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Right.
Now, I recognize that the word revival is really not the right word. I mean, I recognize that. But nevertheless, that's how it's been classified, so I'm not going to try to undertake to undo the classification.
Right.
But you know and I know that revival is something only God's people can experience.
That's right. Amen. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
But nevertheless, what happened at Nineveh has commonly been classified as revival. Really, the people at Nineveh have absolutely no background, no foundation spiritually.
Yeah.
They have no relationship whatsoever with God when Jonah arrives.
Right.
Who he is and what he's talking about is like a foreign language to them. They've never been in catechism classes to find out whether or not they could learn enough to qualify to be proselytes to Judaism. They know absolutely nothing about spiritual things, heaven, hell, God, hereafter, Anything like that means absolutely nothing to them.
That's it.
But somehow, they had revival.
Amen.
Now here we are. We claim we know all about all of that, and we can't have it. We struggle with it. We pray for it. We plan for it. We invite people. We do all kinds of stuff to try to coerce people. I've even known the people paying people to come. In fact, I've thought about doing some of that myself. But it seems like we struggle with it.
That's right.
And these people are not supposed to know anything, but yet they have a great revival.
Yeah.
How in the world can that? Well, let me make two statements and then I have three points and we're going home. There is in this section an obvious message, something you can easily see. But there is in this section what I'm going to call an obscure miracle. If you're not familiar with the word obscure, that means something that you know is there, but it is not that visible.
Yeah.
How many of us are familiar with this phrase, behind the scenes?
Oh, you mean? Yes.
Behind the scenes, what's going on behind the scenes? I want to tell you what's going on. The only one who is capable of doing a miracle is at work.
That's right.
That's what's going on.
Yes.
Last time I checked, God was the exclusive worker in the miracle department.
Amen.
You see, things that are miraculous don't fall within the boundaries of normal operations and normal patterns that have been set in any area. Something miraculous is definitely not mechanical. You know what a machine is, don't you? I had a good friend that had a company over in Shelby, North Carolina years ago called Machine Builders and Design. And I asked him one day when I was visiting with him, I said, "Bud, what does a man have to do to get a job with your company? Does he have to be an engineer? Does he have to have a degree? What does he have to do?" "Oh," he said, "I just asked him a question. And if he can't answer that question, the interview's over." But he says if he answers the question properly, then I give him a project to look at and a problem to look at. And I watch him. And if he can't concentrate for at least 8 hours without stopping on that problem, he don't get a job here. He said, "My company is in the problem-solving business." Well, old curious Mississippi said, "What's the question?"
Yes.
What's the question? He said, "Oh, it's a simple question. What is a machine?" I'm not going to tell you what I answered because I didn't answer. I just want to know what the question was. I tried to think about the question for 8 hours. I was pretty sure I couldn't solve the problem. But I did ask Bud, I said, what kind of an answer are you looking for with that question? He said, now if a man gives me something that has the word gadget in it, or thingamajig in it, it's over, he's done. He said, a machine is simply a device that repeats a function. Isn't that kind of the way most our churches are operating?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like a machine.
Yeah.
You come in, you know at a certain time the machine's going to do a certain thing.
Yeah.
And when the machine does that thing, there's going to be something else that occurs as a result of that. And it's all real mechanically carried out. Isn't that fact?
Yeah.
And we're up in here praying for revival and wondering why we can't act. We operating in the wrong department.
Amen. That's right, brother. Yeah.
It'll take a miracle for revival.
That's right. Oh yeah. That's right. Yeah. Amen.
And that's something that's not mechanical.
No, that's right.
Revival's something you can't control.
Exactly.
It's like a prairie fire. When the wind gets in it, it sweeps up everything in its path.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I've had a taste or two in my life.
Yes, Lord.
I have. Now, I haven't really had a choice, but I've had a taste or two in my life. I remember in the early 70s in the hills of Mississippi, there was a spirit of revival a blowing. I seen congregations of people. I seen as high as 250 to 300 people in a late October, rainy Friday night, stand in the yard to hear a man preach while the rain slowly dripped on the outside. And I saw people do things you couldn't have paid them enough money to do.
Right.
So what's going on?
Yeah.
Revival.
There you go. Yeah. Yes. Amen.
What I'm telling you tonight is, revival's not that hard, but there's a secret to it.
There you go.
You ready?
Yes.
I'm reading the secret. Jonah chapter 3 verse 5. This is a secret to having it. And this is the reason why we don't have it.
Yeah.
So the people of Nineveh believed God.
There you go. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's that simple.
Yes, it is.
Now let me give you my 3 points and we're going to be ready to go. The machine's going to shut out. I know, that's the way we all operate. Now here's the first thing. I will talk to you about the miracle of faith. How in the world does a group of people that have absolutely no training, no teaching, and no information come to the place where they believe God? How does that happen? I think I've set it up like it happens. The miracle of faith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. Yes, amen.
Did Jonah produce that in them?
No.
He didn't produce that in them any more than any other preacher has ever produced it in anybody that heard them.
That's right.
I'm submitting to you, in the context of biblical preaching, it is possible for faith to be born in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, but it will not be the work of the preacher or the speaker or the singer or whoever else is gathered. It will be the fact that the only one who can produce faith is alive and active and well and working in that congregation.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you two or three thoughts. Where faith is present, I'm using faith as a synonym. They believe God.
Yeah.
Where faith is present, it presupposes that a revelation has occurred.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
You say, what did these people know? Did they just know what Jonah said? I can't answer that question. But I will tell you this much. You cannot believe something you don't know about.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely.
Amen.
How do I know that? Romans chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Answer, they can't.
That's right. Amen.
They can't. You can't either.
That's right.
You never heard of God. You won't believe it. Mm. Why? Faith has to have foundation.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. Yes.
Now I'm on the edge of something. It may bother you. I don't know if it bothered you. You just have to be bothered. I hope you get well. But I want to say something to you. I wonder who it was that took the message to Abraham when faith was born in him. Now don't come around after church and ask me when that faith was born in, because I'm not going to try to answer that. But I am going to tell you, praise God, it was born in his heart. You say, well, when was it born? I'm not sure I can tell when, but I can tell whether it's there or not. It's more important to know that it's there than it is to know when it came there. Somebody says, I believe I'm saved, but I can't really tell you the day or the hour when I got saved. A lot of people want to fuss about that. I want to ask you something. Is it equally important to know your birthday as it is to take your pulse and know your life? I think we're fussing about stuff we don't need to be fussing about. You're either dead spiritually or you're alive spiritually. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that you know exactly when you pass from one to the other. But if you pass from one to the other, you'll have some evidences in your life that transaction has took place.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
True.
You say, well, preacher, I know the day and the time. Wonderful. But you're not no more saved or alive than the fella that can't tell you the day and the time. But yet, when you take his spiritual pulse and you go to feed him spiritual food, he's got an appetite for it, and the Holy Spirit of God begins to move. He recognizes who's awakened. Hey, quit telling that guy. He don't know God. He's alive and breathing.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Good preaching, brother.
I asked you a question. Who preached the message to Abraham? Don't misunderstand what I'm telling you. I believe in preaching the word of God.
Amen. Yes.
Yes. I've spent my life doing it.
Amen.
I believe in preaching the word of God. And the word that I have from God is that which is written in these pages.
That's it. Yes.
Now that's what I have.
Amen.
That's what I preach. That's what I try to go by. But I want to say something to you tonight, and I don't really know how to say it in a way. I hope I can make sense with you, but I'm not going to ask you if I did once I sat down. Because, well, it's just not necessary. But I believe God's a pretty good preacher by himself.
Oh, yes.
Now, I know he's called preachers. He's chosen the foolishness of preaching. And I try to do that. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe the same God that has led me to spend my life studying this written word is very capable. He can do it through me, through you, or through somebody else, or through a gospel tract, or through whatever else you do. And we ought to do everything we can do to get the word out to a world that's lost without God. But I'm prepared to tell you, though God has chosen to use us and involve us, he has not bound himself to us. He can do when we can't do, and he can talk when we can't talk, and he can reveal himself to folks when we don't know how. And I'm about to get the notion that's some of what he did here.
Amen.
I'm thinking God revealed himself to these people at Nineveh, and they probably knew a whole lot more than what Jonah told.
Yes.
Y'all still out there?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about, I believe faith is miraculous.
Yes, sir.
I do.
Amen.
Now, I read this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves.
That's right. Amen.
It and that, same thing.
Amen.
It is the gift.
Yeah, gift.
Of God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's it.
Amen.
Now watch that little phrase. Gift of God.
Yes,
it means he's the source of the gift. It also means he's the substance of the gift.
That's it. That's right. Amen. Good. Amen, brother.
You getting that?
Yep.
Buddy, when God saves you, he gives you himself.
Yes.
He reveals himself.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He can use human instrumentality. Thank God that he does. But he's not bound to that. You say, why? Because he's capable of doing a miracle.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
The presence of faith presupposes a revelation. The presence of faith also provokes a response.
Yes.
It does. If faith is present, I promise you, you can't keep it from responding.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
Right.
Faith, I'm talking about real faith. I'm not talking about false faith.
Right.
And there is such a thing.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about theoretical faith. I'm talking about absolutely genuine faith. Genuine faith is always active.
Yeah.
Amen.
It is never passive.
Yes.
I promise you tonight, if there's a soul in this room in whom God imparts genuine faith in the context of the preaching of His Word and the working of the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to know that individual is going to respond.
Amen. Amen.
Now that's how it is that people can hear the same sermon and some people respond and other people don't respond.
You're right.
Same sermon, same setting on the same day. I don't know what else to say.
That's right.
I like what old brother Clevant Dirt said in his song. You remember that song? Said, what was the name of that song? I forgot the song. When God dips His love in my heart. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I've got a tape at my house of Brother Clevant and his whole family are singing that.
Yeah.
Huh? He's an Alabama man.
Amen.
Clevant Derrick's one. Alabama man. By the way, he wasn't the same color we are either. He's a black man. Got a picture of his whole family. Got a record of him singing that song. He said, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul. I brought me salvation and it made me whole, but I found I couldn't hide the love that Jesus did in his heart. And it makes me cry. It sets my sinful soul on fire. Hallelujah. When God gets His love in my heart. I want you to know when God takes His word and creates faith in the dead heart of a lost man, there will be a response.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good.
Real faith not only presupposes a revelation, it provokes a response, but it produces a relationship. John chapter 1, Bible says he, that is Jesus, came unto his own, and his own received not. But, adversative conjunction introducing sharp contrast. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power. Power for what? To become
sons of God.
Well, I just want to know, what is that power? What is that power that He gave them? It's power to become.
Yes.
Technically and theologically, we got a word for it. Faith.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
He gave it to them.
Amen. Sure did.
He gave them faith. Power to become. You say, well, how were they born? Not of the will of man.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Nor of the will of the flesh.
That's it. Amen.
But of God.
Amen.
He gave them power to become sons of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about the miracle of faith. Now, I'm coming back to my chapter. You thought I'd already forgot. I'm still here. I'm in Jonah chapter 3. Amen. The next thing we will look at is the manifestations of faith. You see, if there's no faith present, there won't be any manifestation.
That's right.
But if it's present, it's always active and it'll manifest itself.
Yes, it will.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, sometime when you got a month or two, you can study about a conflict that people of above my level fuss about. I get amazed. Everything you study in the Bible, somebody's fussing about it.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a big argument among quote-unquote theologians, whatever they mean by that, as to which comes first. Does faith come first, or does repentance come first? And, of course, some people have decided that repentance doesn't come at all. I didn't say the Bible said that. I said some people have decided that. I won't just make an announcement. God hadn't left it up to us to decide that.
All right. That's it, preacher. Amen.
I tell you what he said. Said he commanded all men everywhere. And I have to respectfully say that includes most folks I've met. Some of them I wonder about, but most folks I've met is included in that stuff. Now, does repentance come further? First is a thing. I don't know. But I want to tell you this. In this text, believing God come first.
Yes, amen. That's right.
And I want to just ask you a simple question. If a man don't believe God, why would he feel any need to repent?
That's right. I agree.
Yes. I mean, after all, if the sentence of the wrath of God on the sinner, if there's nothing to it anyway, why repent? Just forget the whole mess. Do what the rest of the world is doing. Just go on. Do whatever you want to do. Act however you want to act. Forget about it. The whole thing is just a dreamed up bunch of junk.
That's right, brother. That's where we are.
But see, you can't live that way. And I'm going to tell you why you can't live that way. You believe God.
That's it.
Amen.
And because you do believe God, it's had an effect on you.
Yes. Right. Go ahead.
And it'll be manifest. If you believe God, it'll be manifest. Now let's look at how it was manifest in this chapter. We've got to pick up the pace here. Now I want you to look in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now what's the first thing on the list? And looked like to me the first thing it affected was their appetite.
Yes.
Is that the way you see it?
Yes, sir.
I'm not here trying to prove anything to you. I'm just reading to you. But see, the first thing it affected was their appetite. Hey, do you recall any event in your life back down the way when your appetites became affected? Now, a fast has to do with physical food. And they not only got on a fast in the world of anthropology, they got in on a fast in the world of the animals too. Now, I don't want to get too involved with this, but there's a lot of appetites in the physical body besides the desire for food.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. You're right. Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something. When faith is born in your heart and you do believe God,
yes,
it's going to have an effect,
yes, sir,
on your appetites. And it's going to bring you to the place that you control your appetite instead of your appetite controlling you.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Thank you. It's good. All right, brother. It's good. It's right.
See, you can't have a fast if you're not in control of your appetite.
Right. Right. Right.
I'll back up one notch. You can't even go on a diet. Unless you're in control of your appetite. If your appetite's in control of you, you won't stay on no diet. I mean, that's just a little sample. It affected their appetite. Now, let's look on another. Well, look at it. It says, a proclaimed fast. Now, what's the next thing? I'm just reading the list. And put on sackcloth.
Yeah.
So, it affected their appetite. Next thing it affected was their attire.
Yes, sure did.
I'm just reading it too.
That's it, bro.
That's the way it affected them. I wonder what made them want to change the way they're dressed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They believe God.
Yeah. Amen. Believe God. Right, preacher.
That's amazing.
That's it right there.
I don't think anybody, I don't think Jonah took him aside and said, look, you bums, you need to get you. I don't believe he gave him a class like that. I don't find any evidence of that. It was a natural outflow of what God done on the inside.
Amen.
Now, I want to serve notice on you tonight. Look, hey, you can redress everybody you find out here in this world, but if God ain't done something on the inside, you're just making a religious fool out of somebody that's going to go to hell in the final windup. God help us to realize what's the center of all of this stuff. It affected their attire. I got to move fast. It affected their attitudes. The Bible said they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. For word came unto the king. You see, this revival didn't start at the White House.
No, it sure didn't. Right. No.
It started out there at the people's house.
Yeah, that's it.
Word came to the king. By the way, I wouldn't mind if we had a revival in this country.
Yeah.
But I'd be suspect of anything that starts at the top.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I'm talking about anything of spiritual nature.
Yeah. Right, right.
Starting from the top. I'm not saying it can't, because I know there's another king in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He thought he's a pretty big fella.
Yes, he did.
Mm. Popped his suspenders and said, look at this big Babylon that I have built. But when God put his lasso on him and tied him out in the field for a while, brother, he come back with a different tune, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Amen. Sure did.
So it can start at the top.
Yeah.
But it don't usually start there. It starts down with the people. Everyone seemed to be broken and bowing down before God. It affected their activities. Everything in Nineveh come to a screeching halt.
Right.
Nobody doing anything except considering their condition, their situation before God. Now, I didn't bring my stat sheets with me tonight. I don't give a lot of stats in my preaching. But I want to challenge you tonight. If you've never studied the history of revival in America, there's no reason for anybody in this room tonight not knowing something about the history of revival in America.
Amen.
I'll tell you something that'll astound you. If you're not familiar, There have been several times in the history of this country when revival got so on such a scale that some of the state houses absolutely shut down.
Sure did.
They weren't enough people in attendance to do any business. They had to shut down and go home. You know where the Congress people were? You know where the representatives were? They were in revival.
Yes. Amen.
Now that has happened right here in our country.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Happened in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Happened in the state of Kentucky. Several other places. Boy, wouldn't it be something if God somehow would come down one more time and just visit his people and get us back to the place that we don't just believe God can, to the place that we believe God will. And if he could just come down one more time, wouldn't it be wonderful for the whole outfit to lock down, shut down, and we could come to the place where we say, hey, we're not doing anything else until we're right with God.
Amen.
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 It has happened.
Yes.
It can happen.
Amen.
It will happen. When? When we believe.
That's it.
That's
Amen.
It.
That's it. Good. Amen.
Why, it's no problem for a God who can shut the mouth of a lion and let a man sleep in the cell with him all night long and be a shout and a praise of God the next morning. It wouldn't be no problem him to lock the White House down.
Amen.
Lock the State House down. Everything else down. Just shut the whole mess down.
Right. Truth, brother.
That's right, Richard. Amen.
Believe God.
Believe God.
It affected their activity. It affected their animals. This is a little comical. You know, I'm kind of comical anyway. I don't mind you smiling when you look at me, but it is kind of bothersome if you really bust out and laugh. But I want you to look at this. I want you to look at this. Look in verse 8. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. You ever wonder what a cow looked like dressed up like that? It's right there in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
I'll tell you this much. If God's people have revival, the dog and the cat will recognize something different about it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, I got one more point. Y'all got time for one more?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I've talked about the miracle of faith a little. I've talked about the manifestations of faith. How does faith manifest itself? Manifest itself in repentance.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Always does.
Yes.
All right.
Amen.
Now, I want to talk just a little bit about the master and their faith. Mm-hmm. The master and their faith. I'm going to the book of Matthew. And I'm going to read the book of Matthew, chapter 12. When you find that place, turn back to Jonah 3. Pages in your Bible need some exercise. Just turn back to Jonah 3. I want to read one verse, and then I'm going to read the one in Matthew. Look in verse 10, Jonah 3, verse 10. And God saw what? God saw their works. Well, what did he see? He saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Now, when you get home, you can read Mark chapter 2. You remember where the four men carried the one man to Jesus?
Yeah.
And that text says, he saw their faith.
Yes. Yes.
See, that's something to study about. Here it says, he saw their works.
Yeah.
Well, when he saw their works, what did that tell him? They believed.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Mark chapter 2, he saw their faith. How did he see that? But what they were doing.
That's right.
You getting a hold of that?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Matthew 12. The master and their faith. See, their faith was initially verified by their works.
Exactly.
That's always the way faith is verified. It's not verified by what I say about it.
That's right, brother.
It's verified by what I do about it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And that's the thesis of the whole book of James.
Right.
You tell me you got faith, but it's not working in your life, you better drop it.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
No good.
Right.
Real faith works.
Works. Right.
And those works are not works of flesh. They are the works of faith.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
And they are not in order to have, but because you already have.
Amen, brother. Amen. That's it.
Okay. Matthew chapter 12. We've got to read this. Not only was their faith initially verified by their works, but it was prophetically verified. Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Amen.
Now, you just heard the only one that really counts say.
Yeah. That's right.
They repent.
Yes, sir. Hey.
I was reading, I read every day. And I was reading the other day, and I come across a line where the man said, now we're not supposed to get the idea that these people in Nineveh come to know God like we know God. I better not tell you what I thought. I believe what Jesus said.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He spoke of Jonah as a real person. He called him a prophet in one of his texts. He also called the place Nineveh as a real place. And he did say that Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And I'm going to believe what he says. Because now, I've read in the Bible, and I'm fixing to read to you from the Bible. He is going to be the one who has the last say.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Just turn one page back to Matthew chapter 10. I'll read it to you. Verse 32. This is the last scripture, the last thing. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now the next verse is the antithesis, the contrast. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, study the difference between the word profess and the word confess. Yeah. There's more difference than just spelling. You see, a person can profess anything.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Why? If I brush up a little bit, I might talk to you about the human anatomy to the degree I could convince you that I was a doctor. But I guarantee you, you don't want me operating on you. We got a lot of folks profess.
Yes.
You see, you can profess something that you don't have any connection with at all.
Right, exactly.
You can just get fascinated with something and you can profess that. Professing is empty. But now, confession. It's a different ballgame. Real confession means you've got a personal connection with something.
Amen. Yes.
Anybody in here ever worked with law enforcement? Do you know what that police, when he takes that person in the room that's been arrested, and he begins to question that person, and he begins to corner and bring some evidences to that person's mind that leads that person to the realization. He knows more than I thought he did. And that person reaches a point in that process when he breaks . He said, I'm going to confess. Now what he means by that is I'm connected to it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now Jesus said, whosoever will confess me. In the final analysis, I'm going to confess him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Meaning, he's going to agree with your confession. Not your profession. Your confession.
That's it.
To confess Jesus Christ as Son of God, Savior of men, who died for our sins, was buried, raised again. To confess Him so is to say, I have a personal connection with Him.
Amen.
And the only way you can have a personal connection with Him is by faith.
That's it. Amen.
And that faith is a work of God in the heart of a man.
Amen.
And it will produce fruit.
Yes, sir.
Evidence in a person's life. And when you get there to heaven, That same Jesus that you have confessed down here is going to look at you and look at the Father and shake his head and say, yes, Father, he is one of mine. I've got a personal connection with him.
Amen. Amen.
Last question. What is he going to say about you?